Well, the Bible has a lot to say about the things that come out of our mouths, about the words that we say. I think of, in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs talks a lot about the tongue. And in the New Testament, the book of James is the book that we often look at when we want to talk about the tongue. And even Jesus had much to say about our tongues and the things that come out of our mouths. Jesus once said to the Pharisees, he said, "By your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." And Jesus also said that it is out of our mouths. Those things that come out of our mouths come from where? They come from right here, our own heart. Much about our words. Well, as we continue in our study of 2 Timothy, we're in 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you grab your Bibles there, and we come to a section in verses 14 through 26, where the Apostle Paul has a lot to say about words, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so we're going to begin to look at that. We're just going to cover two verses of this section today, verses 14 and 15. But basically, Paul says to Timothy, "Hey, Timothy, your words, you're called to teach and to preach. And to do that, you have to do what? You have to use words. So know this, Timothy, your words can help people get closer to God, or your words can actually draw them away from God. And Timothy, I want your words to bring people closer to God." Let's look at the verses this morning. 2 Timothy 2, verses 14 and 15, the Apostle Paul says, "Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." Well, Paul begins this section by saying, keep reminding them of these things. Well, what are these things? Well, it could be what Paul had just said, the passage we looked at last week, if we back up to verse 11, where Paul said, here's a trustworthy saying. Remember this? If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Or perhaps Paul had in mind all that he'd already written in this letter. Not exactly sure. One thing we do know, though, is that Timothy was to remind the people. Isn't it good to be reminded that we need reminding? Aren't you thankful for reminders? I know I am. And why is that? Because I tend to forget, right? We all tend to forget. And so it's good to have these reminders. No matter who you are, we may all vary in degrees of forgetfulness. We all need reminders. This past week, I was watching 60 Minutes. I hadn't seen it in a long time, but I caught the show. Did anybody see the show? There was an interesting piece on that show about people who had incredible memories. It was fascinating. Very small percentage of the world. But these people could remember details about their lives that happened a long time ago. And even the day that it happened. If you were to ask them, hey, when was June 13th, 2008? They say, oh, well, that was a Friday. And you're like, it just blew me away. Why? Because I can remember what I did this morning, maybe. You know, like if you were to ask me what I had for breakfast this morning, I could tell you. I had to read the box this morning so I'd remember. It was Honey Nut Cheerios. See, I forgot already. It was Honey Nut Cheerios Medley Blend or something like that, or Medley Crunch, something like that. But if you were to ask me what I ate on January 5th, which was only 2 weeks ago, I'd be scratching my head. I'd be saying, you know, probably cereal, but I don't know what I ate. But these people had an incredible, incredible memory. And you know what? We all need reminding, not just in the earthly stuff, like what we had for breakfast, but especially in the spiritual stuff. We need to be reminded over and over again. The truth is, you may have been a Christian for over 50 years. You may have read through the Bible dozens of times. You may have heard thousands of sermons and been to thousands of Bible studies, but you know what? You still need to be reminded of the truths of God. They still need to be pulled to the forefront of your mind. This past Wednesday in Bible study, I've been going through the book of Philippians. And one of the things we've been doing is we've been trying to memorize, he's laughing, we've been trying to memorize some verses out of Philippians. And so far, there's three verses that we're trying to work on through the first couple chapters. And I wish I had a video camera that night. As I said, okay, guys and gals, what are the three verses? Can you recite to me Philippians 2:14 and all the rest? And I wish I had a camera to see them go, But you know what? They eventually got those verses out. We need to be reminded. And one of the reasons you're here today, right, is to be reminded of the things of God. Why? Because they can drift to the back of our minds and they need to be pulled to the front continually. Well, let me ask you this. As a believer, what should be the main thing you are looking for in a quote sermon? What should be the main thing? The main thing ought to be not how the preacher is dressed, not the preacher's personality. The main thing ought to be truth. It ought to be truth. That's what you ought to be coming seeking. As a listener, your heart should be this: oh God, today I want to hear your truth. As a preacher, my attitude ought to be, God, I want to deliver truth. I want to bring forth truth that people can hear. Why is that so important? Well, do you remember what Jesus said? He said, those who worship God must worship him in what? In spirit and in truth. Truth is essential. If I am up here spouting out lies about God and you are believing lies, guess what? True worship is not happening. Because only true worship happens when truth happens. When truth exists, then true worship exists. But sadly, in our day, that's not always what people are seeking after, is it? Some people just want to hear something funny, something humorous, so they can show up on work on Monday morning and say, hey, you'll never believe this great joke that the pastor told you. That's great. You gotta hear this. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with humor. And once in a while, I may even be funny, but I'm not real good at it. But there's nothing wrong with a little natural humor. But your main goal is to hear truth and for me to tell truth. That ought to be the main goal that happens. Charles Spurgeon was once chided for using humor so much in his sermons. And he responded this way. He said, oh, if you only knew what I held back. If you only knew all the things that I want to say that are funny, that I hold back and don't say. Again, nothing wrong with that, but that should not be the top of the pyramid. Truth needs to be there. Others may say, well, I want to hear something inspirational. And you know what? I believe that God's word is the thing that inspires us as Christians. Certainly that is inspirational, but often what people mean by that is this: I want this kind of warm, sentimental feeling. You know the feeling you get when you watch a Hallmark movie? Anybody ever watch a Hallmark movie? Some of you maybe, I don't know, Nate's going to gag me. But some of you, you know, it produces this nice feeling, doesn't it? And you grab the tissues and you're crying. It's just such a warm, cozy, fuzzy feeling. And often that's what people pursue, or that's what people are after when they come to hear a message on a Sunday morning. Now, again, hopefully there's some of that. There's some warmth. There's some good stuff. But there may be some hard stuff as well. Let's face it. There are some hard sayings, aren't there, in the scriptures? Hard things that we're called to obey. So it's not always a warm fuzzy. Sometimes it may make us warm in other ways because the conviction of the Spirit hits us. Whenever someone says, I want this, and you can fill in the blank, whether it's humor or inspiration, more than I want truth, that person will automatically or often drift away from God. Why? Because they're drifting away from a pursuit of truth. And this is nothing new. This was happening in Paul's day. Let's look at 2 Timothy. We'll get to this down the road, but 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Paul says, "For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." Again, nothing new. Nothing new. Happened a long time ago. It happens in our day. But how do we guard against that? By simply having a heart that says, "God, I want your truth more than anything else. I just want your truth today." What are some things or some truths that Timothy was to speak of? Certainly the gospel. He was to share the good news of Christ and how he came to save sinners, and anyone who would put their faith in him would believe and be saved and have everlasting life. Timothy would remind the people to have perseverance, to endure like a good soldier. He would tell them that. Those are some good things that Timothy would have to repeat over and over and over again. Well, what were some of the bad things that Timothy should avoid? Well, in our passage, we hear that, don't we? In verse 14, Paul said, "Warn them before God against quarreling about words." Quarreling about words. It's one thing that Timothy should avoid. As we continue in our study next week, when we get to verse 16, Paul will say, "Avoid godless chatter." He'll talk about false teachings concerning the resurrection. When we get to verse 23, Paul will say this, "Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments." There you go, kids. Stupid is in the Bible, just in case you want to know that. When somebody says, "Don't say stupid," it's in the Bible. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments. In 1 Timothy, he talks about myths and endless genealogies that people would argue about. Let's look at another passage from 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 5. And again, these are things that Timothy should avoid. Paul says, "If anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain." We don't know there what exactly the words are that Paul was referring to. But one thing I think we can get out of that is that the words really weren't that important. The words had no eternal value, or these words that they were arguing about didn't help people to grow in godliness. And so Paul's like, why are you wasting your time? Don't waste your time arguing about these stupid things that just really don't matter at all. Some people love to argue about ideas and philosophies simply because they enjoy strife, right? They love a good fight. They love to just go at it. And so they'll argue about all kinds of things. They may love to prove someone wrong. And so they'll hold to their view and not care what other people think. They have no open mind, and they just want to share their opinions day after day. They want to feel a little bit superior than the schmuck that they're arguing with. But listen to what Proverbs 18:2 says. Let's look at that. It says, "A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions." Let me share a few comments on this scripture. This is the person who feels his opinion is right, but he is not open to anyone challenging his thoughts. He's not open to gaining true understanding, because that might mean he would have to admit he was wrong. This person wants to be seen in a certain light, He wants to be perceived by others as having greater knowledge than others. And so even if that means calling other people knuckleheads, fools, and morons, he will do that because he thinks it gives him an edge over the quote fool, when in fact the Bible says he is the fool. And we can all be guilty of that. And I know I used the word he, but I don't want to discriminate. Ladies can be guilty of airing their own opinions as well. Well, when we quarrel about words, what is the result? What does Paul say? When we quarrel about words, the result is that we ruin those who are listening to this quarreling and this argument. We ruin people. How much different is that than Paul's instruction in Ephesians 4:29? Remember that famous verse? Josh remembers this verse, right? Ephesians 4:29. He wrote a song about words. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. What a great difference. Our words can bring ruin or they can benefit people. We need to ask ourselves that question. Am I benefiting people by my speech or am I ruining them? And in our day of social media, I have to add, it wouldn't be right if I didn't add this, that we need to be careful with the things that we put on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and all those outlets where we use words. You may say, well, I'm not speaking. Well, if you're putting them out there, it's as if you're speaking. Those are your words. Those are your thoughts that you're sharing. And so if I post something maybe a little risque, if I post something with filthy language, if I post something that promotes ungodly attitudes or something that would put someone else down, I have to ask myself, is this going to benefit other people? If, say, Josh and Jordan Bugner are my friends, you're my friends, right? Yeah, you're my friends. When I put something out there and they're going to read this, is this going to benefit them in their walk with Christ? Is this going to help them grow in godliness? Or will it cause them to drift maybe from the Lord? We need to be careful that we do what benefits other people. Well, back to our passage in verse 15 of 2 Timothy 2. Paul says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. How could Timothy make sure that he wasn't a man that simply just aired his own opinions and it was always about his own agenda and own ideas? Paul says, this is how, Timothy, share the word of truth. Share the scriptures. Be grounded in the scriptures. Know the scriptures. And though God has not called all of us to be like Timothy in the teacher sense, you know what? I believe God wants all of us to correctly handle the word of truth. God wants all of us to have a good grasp on the scriptures, on the word of God. He wants that for all of his children, all of his people. Listen to what Romans chapter 12 says. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And of course, the way we renew our minds is how? Through this, through the word of God, through the scriptures. And so for the rest of our time today, I just want to talk to you about the importance of this book in your life and in my life. And I realize that this is not a new concept, is it? This is not the first time that you're hearing the Word of God is important. I need the Word in my life. But, as I said earlier, we tend to do what? We tend to forget. And so we have these files in our brains, just like a file cabinet. And the file that says the Word is important, it may be way in the back somewhere. And so it needs to be pulled to the front again. And maybe that's where you're at this morning. You just need a fresh reminder of the importance of the Word of God. So two questions for you, real quick, are these. Number one, why is the Word so important? And number two, how should we view the Word of God? Number one, why is the Word important? Very simply this, the main way we get to know God is right here, is as we open the Bible, as we open the pages of Scripture. Now certainly we can, quote, know about God just by creation, can't we? Romans 1, Paul says that all men are without excuse. Even the atheist, he's without excuse. Why? Because when we look out at God's creation, it reveals His eternal power and His divine nature. It's undeniable. People suppress that truth, but it's innate. Every person, there's a God who made the world and who made me. We can know that about God, but there's so much more to know about God than just that He is Creator. And how do we know more about Him? By reading from Genesis to Revelation. The truth is this, we will often have a warped view of God if we're not reading from Genesis to Revelation. Have you ever heard people say, no, I don't think God would ever do that, or I can't imagine God doing that. Maybe you've said it, maybe I've said it at times. And then we read our Bible and we say, whoa, we get surprised. We say, well, I guess God could do that. And really on both ends of the spectrum, on the judgment spectrum where God pours out His wrath, we may say, God, isn't that a little harsh? Couldn't you have been a little bit more merciful to those people? Same with the mercy side. We may see God display mercy and we say, God, couldn't you just sock it to them? Couldn't you just give them what they deserve? You see, His holiness and His mercy are just so much greater than our minds can often comprehend. But the way we know God, how awesome and how pure and how holy He really is in here. How deep is His love? How great is His mercy? How do we know that? In here. We know it through here. That is why the Word is so important. Number two, how should we view the Word of God? Just some writings? Or should we view it as His very breathed out Word, inspired by God? As living and active, as the writer of Hebrews says, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts, it penetrates, even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of my heart. When my heart is off, and I open this up, guess what? It often reveals that to me. If this is closed, my heart may be off, and I'm just fine and dandy with it. Why is it so important? It reveals our heart. How should we view it? As life. As this way. I cannot live without it. I can't survive without it. That should be our attitude. Listen to our final scripture today. The book of Job. Job 23 verse 12. Job, who though he was a man under great distress, went through incredible suffering. He says, I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. That's powerful scripture. Let me ask you, how many of you had breakfast this morning? Nobody? Some of you did. Okay. Let me ask it this way. Who skipped breakfast this morning? Some of you did. All right. Let me ask you this. Right now, how's your tummy doing? It's doing okay? It's growling. Okay. Even if you did have breakfast, like I did, bowl of cereal, usually about 12, what starts happening? It's saying, come on, feed me. I want to eat, right? That's what it's saying. It's doing that. It's desiring food. Job says, you know what? I want that strong desire for food. I want this. I want God's word even more than my daily bread. Before I do anything, I just want to fill up my life with his word because I know that it is a source of strength. And so one of the tactics that the devil will use in our lives is this, is he will seek to distract us and detract us from the word of God, from spending time in the word of God. Why? Because he knows that a believer that's filled with the scriptures and filled with the word is going to be a strong Christian. And so when Satan seeks to belittle the word in our lives, you know what we need to do? Satan. We raise it up high. We say, this word is more. This is what I need. When Satan whispers and says, you can skip a day. You can skip a day in the word. It's okay. Really, it's okay. We say, oh no, this is a source of strength in my life. If I'm going to walk this walk in a manner that God has called me, I need this word in my life. Well, let me ask you, final thought for today, is there a steady diet of the word of God in your life and in my life? Is there a steady diet? As we continue in 2 Timothy, we're going to talk a lot more about the importance of the word of God. If there's not a steady diet in your life, then I would encourage you to begin to make that a practice in your life, spending time in the word of God. And maybe you just say, you know what, I really struggle in that area, and Pastor, I need help. Please talk to me. Please say, you know what, just give me some tools. Help me in this area. It's a weakness in my life. Would you help me? You might want to talk to another brother or sister in the Lord. You know that they are very disciplined in the word. Say, how do you do it? Can you give me some pointers? Can you help me out? Can you keep me accountable so that I'm in the word? It is so important, people. We need the word. We need to see it as life, spiritual life and strength. And as we close today, let me just share the most important message of truth that comes from the word of God. And that is this, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners like Pastor Eric and like you. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short of his standard, which is perfection. None of us reach it. We all fall short. And God in his grace sent Christ to die for my sins, that he would take upon himself the punishment that I deserve, the condemnation that I deserve, was placed upon Jesus, so that if I would but by faith believe in Jesus and trust in him, he would forgive me and give me everlasting life. And that is the greatest truthful message you can ever hear and accept and believe. That Jesus died for you, and he rose again to give you life and life eternal. Do you believe it? Is it true? Absolutely. Do you believe it? I pray that you all do. Let's pray. Our Father, I thank you for your truth. And, Lord, in a world where we are bombarded with lies and deceitful sayings, and Lord, even our own hearts, the word says, is deceitful. And we can just be so slanted in our views at times. God, help us to be people of truth. Lord, forgive us for our biases that we have when we come into situations and circumstances. Lord, we just want to see things truthfully and clearly. And Lord, I ask that you would just fill us with a greater measure of your truth, of your word in our lives, so that we would be discerning, that we would know what is a lie and what is truth. And Father, I pray that you would help us all to use words that would edify and build up one another. Lord, the world is filled with people who just knock others down all the time and who belittle people and who scar people and ruin lives with the words that they say. Lord, may that not be us. May we speak words that build up, that encourage and edify. Words that have you in mind. Help us to speak eternal things by your strength and by your grace. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.